City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Mitchell Fain.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Miller Lite. Triple hops brewed Miller Lite. Taste greatness.
Listening to Windy City Queercast, show number 426. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Mitchell Fain.
And we are here on hot month of July.
It's so
in
hot
Chicago.
Outside. It's not hot in here, though.
No, it's not hot in here. Yeah. We have air conditioning, which is lovely.
Yes, we do. We're spoiled.
We're very glad.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
But it has really, the dial has turned up.
Yes.
Finally, we are here. We're in the summer.
It's
the dog days
Chicago
of summer.
Chicago summer, yeah.
Yeah.
Big time.
Does that bother you? Do you like
the
heat?
I'm okay. I'm okay with it, except for sleeping. I can't sleep in the heat.
Yep.
I can't sleep in the heat, but I'd rather be a little bit cold and put on a blanket or
yep.
something.
Yep.
But as far as like being out in
yep.
the heat, unless I have to be dressed up,
yep.
I don't care. I'll sweat. I don't care.
You don't care.
But if I have stuff to do, like tomorrow, I have a meeting with a new agent.
Yep.
And so I want to look cute.
Yep.
And by the time I get downtown, I am not going to be cute.
Yep.
But it's going to be 98 degrees, so that will be my excuse for not looking cute.
You'll look cute.
I mean, I'll
just
look cute.
Just take a change of a shirt and just change the shirt down there. Your pants are going to be fine.
Yeah. I might wear shorts.
You should wear... You're cute, anyhow.
I'm going to wear an outfit, but it's going to be a cool outfit.
Yeah. Well, you are cool. You're cool even in the heat.
Yeah.
So we have had so many experiences in the past week that
I think we
just kind of want to share and talk about, and we've done them almost all separately.
I know.
So we're getting
sort of,
to hear...
But they've sort of like lined up a little bit, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. We keep seeing each other coming and going. We have a little glass of Chardonnay at the
exactly.
end,
at like
the end of a very civilized day.
We had a glass of Chardonnay at like 1:30. I get a text from Amy. I'm upstairs in my apartment, and Amy's like, are you home? Yes. I have some Chardonnay. I'll be down in a second. And then you cut up that delicious peach.
Oh.
But like, it was literally like 1:30 in the morning. It was glorious.
Decadent and lovely.
It really was.
It was our life.
It was our life, yeah. It was real good.
But, my week started out, our week started out together, and so we come together now here with the podcast. But our weekend, I guess I should say our extended weekend, but we both went to the Big Red Cabaret to see Megan Murphy.
Kill it. She
killed it. At Mary's Attic. Now, she's performing, for people who came to Gays Got Talent, Megan performed 2 years ago in Gays Got Talent and was just, you know, saying like, Christina Aguilera off the chain
right.
and then one
and then
of
her original songs. She also was a judge for Gay Idol this year
right.
and also performs with the group that does Alien Queen.
Right. She's been starring in Alien Queen, which she also just did this past week.
Literally. So we have, okay, so this is how it went. Wednesday night, one of Megan's really great friends and a friend of mine, Patrick, came to stay. So he got in at like midnight.
Right.
On maybe later on Wednesday. And then, and he's this just absolutely beautiful, adorable boy, lives in LA, actor boy.
Bi boy. He made sure he told me
yes,
this, so he was bi. He puts
beautiful.
The B in the GLBT, which is bisexual and beautiful.
And beautiful and blue eyes and
yep.
brown hair.
Yummy.
Anyway, so So then Megan sang on Thursday, and you were there, I was there. I mean, there was literally like half the Chicago.
The guys from Talbot Tees were there. Cynthia, our promotions director, was there.
The cast of Peter Pan 360 was there.
David Byrne was there. David Byrne, who does all our music writer.
God, who else was there? Some actor friends of mine.
Johnny Stacks was there from Scooty and JoJo.
Beth Kligerman, the producer at Second City, was there. I mean, it was an all-star event.
It was so fun. I haven't been to see her yet, and I've been trying to for a few months. And now she's there at the second and fourth?
The second and fourth Thursday of every month.
At Mary's Attic.
And it's called Big Red's Cabaret, and starts around 10.
What I love is that, you know, you don't even know what song she's going to do, and I live with her. And you all sing all the time, because I...
All the time,
I hear you. But like, it was, you know, I mean, Megan puts real thought into
she
it.
Does.
Like, it was Bastille Day, so happy Bastille Day, happy everyone. Bastille. Belated Bastille Day. Happy BB, belated Bastille Day.
Right, so she'll make a reference, and she thinks about songs that people want to hear. She also thinks about songs that she loves so much and
maybe doesn't have an opportunity to sing,
right, or wants to share. Like she closed with, I mean, I know a lot of probably our listeners know Patty Griffin, but not everybody does.
Yep.
And she closed with this one of Patty Griffin's classics called Heavenly Day.
Yeah.
And
it's one of our editor Di, my best friend's favorite song.
I mean, Di, you would have lost your mind. She sang the hell out of it.
Yeah.
And she closed with it in this really beautiful way that was sort of celebratory of us and herself and
just finding
summer.
That moment of just like where you are perfectly blissfully happy.
Okay, and she sang the hell out of it. And so that was super fun.
Yeah, that was great.
And then so the next day was a day of hanging out with Patrick and sightseeing, but she also had to do
Alien Queen, which I went to.
Didn't start to. I'm 45. I don't go to shows at midnight.
No, I don't either. But unless I've had a lot of cocktails.
If I have cocktails, I'm in bed.
unless I text you at 1:30,
right, exactly.
And then you're back up. Right. So how was the Alien Queen?
It was great. That thing is a phenomenon. I mean, it's really amazing. It's a phenomenon. You know, it's like.
It's fun because it's like a happening.
It's a happening.
It's not the same thing. I mean. These long runs, you know, back in the day it was Xena or Cannibal Cheerleaders
or Bitches or
any of these things where you could go any night of the week. But these are really like, I call these
like
more
events.
Happenings or events because it's kind of like, oh my God, do you know they're doing it in 3 weeks? One night, one time.
Right.
Get there.
And it's super fun because it's super queer. You know, it has this sort of over the top, queer interpretation of the movie Alien and Aliens. First act is Alien, second act is Aliens. Ridley is played by a man.
Ryan Lanning, who many of our listeners will know,
fabulous.
Starred in Fucking Men at Bailiwick
and
was in our very, I think, one of our first years of Gay Idol.
And, he's fabulous. And then Megan plays the Tom Skerritt part, as well as another male part who I can't remember the actor in the original. And then she plays the sort of mother character, which is, you never see in the movies. She's... Mother is the ship.
Yes.
But Megan personifies her with a long red curly fall and a very, very tight silver lamé dress.
Yeah.
Not to be missed.
Not to be missed.
For those of us who, lesbians and gay men who love boobs.
Let's not objectify Megan, though, but we actually can.
Yeah.
She looked so hot in that turquoise dress. I told, a ton of women. I was like, she took off
her sarong. Was that ridiculous?
And I was like, okay, I'm not such an objectifier because she is my friend, and I know she gets objectified, but I'm not a gay man.
When she's on stage, it's okay. That's her whole point.
Oh,
because
my
she
God.
Backs it up with singing her face off.
Yeah.
If you're in the Chicago area and you have not seen Big Red's Cabaret,
I think Megan has really picked up the torch that Alexander Billings started.
I think so too.
She has picked up a torch that Amy Armstrong had
on Halstead.
Amy for
actually going to be singing together soon.
Good.
Stay tuned for that. I'll let people know because Amy and Megan have discovered that they are kindred spirits.
Of course they are.
And they're working on something, and it might be big, and it might be really hot.
Well, she's great. So we'll definitely obviously give you the 411 if Alien Queen comes out back around, but also you can check out Scooty and JoJo, and I'm sure they'll have.
I also went to see, by the way, on Friday. This is an interesting topic to bring up a little bit, if you'll indulge me. So Wednesday, when Patrick came, he was picked up at the airport by a friend of his, an LA friend of his, who happens to be here with his family. His family's from Naperville. They now live downtown. And so he picked up Patrick and then came to the apartment. And as weird as Megan and I are, we live very private lives. Not many people come to our apartment.
No. I rarely even go up there.
I mean, it's a very private, small place. And it's not because we don't want people to come. It's just that it's a small, private place. Anyway.
It's a small, private place called home.
Called a vagina. And so A mangina. So anyway, so this guy comes and he's so personable and so charming. He's a friend of Patrick. But he's here. So then he comes to see Big Red. And then there's this plan to go see Alien Queen. He wants to do that too, which is so fun. Mm-hmm. And then we run into my friend John, who's John Hartman, who's a brilliant improviser, Second City guy. Mm-hmm. Also, he's with Baby Wants Candy. And mm-hmm. if you don't know what Baby Wants Candy, here in Chicago, you're really missing out on a major Chicago institution.
Okay, I gotta go to that then.
It's extraordinary. It's late nights on the weekends at the Apollo Theater, and it's a completely, fully improvised musical, complete with a band and a cast of six. And
genius.
You've never seen anything like it. It's extraordinary. So John Hartman, who's a genius, is in it, and he was at Megan's show, and he mentioned that he was performing, and then this man from California said he'd like to go. And then suddenly I ended up going with this guy I just met to see Baby Wants Candy, just the two of us, mm-hmm. and then to Alien Queen. And I, it was this, this is the question I'm posing to all of your... Mm-hmm.
What makes a date?
Yes, were we on a date? I don't want to be weird and ask, because if the answer is duh, then I'm an idiot, right? Mm-hmm. But if the answer is no, then I'm an idiot. It's like that weird mm-hmm. in between. And we've been texting back and forth, but I can't tell if he just wants to be my friend. Or...
In this modern age, what does make a date?
What makes a date? Were we on a date?
This would be the Sex in the City. You know how she would just carry Bradshaw. Like,
right, we'd shoot it. Some advice.
I don't know.
I know.
I don't know.
People, let me know.
This is a quandary that even I'm like, if I'm out with a woman who happens to be gay, is that a date?
Right, like we didn't. There was no physical contact, except he told a story and he touched my stomach, which is sort of an intimate thing to do.
I think it's
a
date.
You know, I have a cute stomach, but you know.
You have a cute stomach.
Everybody's listening. I'm really being self-deprecating by saying that, but.
No, you're cute in your little baby doll tees.
Yeah, I do tend to wear, my friend.
You do like to show your midriff more than Britney Spears.
My friend Tina and I, who's my age.
And Janet Jackson.
We joke that like, as long as we can mm-hmm. let our shirts ride up, we're going to. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I know it's childish. But anyway, so it's interesting. So we have been texting, he just texted me like 20 minutes ago, like, what's going on today? And so it's like, I can't tell if he just wants to hang because he wants to have a Chicago friend or if, I'm a little bit too insecure right now to ask, like,
Well, then just keep hanging and you'll know.
Yes, exactly. Thank you.
You'll know.
You're right. That's the answer, right? Just keep hanging.
Easy does it.
Because it doesn't feel unflirtatious.
No.
It's very complimentary.
You're getting to know.
Yes.
Each other, getting to know.
Right, because, like, you know, the boys know that we can, you know, well, we can jump into bed so quickly.
You can jump into bed, like, seeing somebody on the bus.
And that's not a date. And that's not a date either. That's just a hookup.
Yeah.
So it's like...
To me, a date is an experience in which two people get to know one another with the potential of having a relationship and, you know, building a relationship. That's what a date is.
Well, when I went to say goodbye to him on Friday night. Listen, I'm using this podcast talking about my, like, weird
social life. There you go. I like it.
The thing is, people know me and know that I'm not really looking for a relationship.
No, you're not.
And so...
you're already in one domestic partnership.
Exactly. Exactly. As weird as it is, I am. And so... It's to invite somebody new into my life and to take time away from the people that I love and mm-hmm. barely see as it is. Mm-hmm. It would have to be somebody special, but this guy might be special. Mm. Stay tuned, folks.
Stay tuned. We have so much more. So much happened this weekend. And Mitchell was at Ravinia. I was at the Yacht Club. We're going to talk about all of it. It's
Dalai
so crazy.
Lama.
All right. We'll be back after these messages and the news.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News. The United Church of Christ, the denomination to which President Obama belonged for 2 decades, resoundingly approved 2 resolutions on July 5th in support of civil rights for LGBT people, including the first ever resolution by a major Christian denomination affirming the rights of LGBT parents to adopt and raise children. The parenting measure passed in a rare unanimous vote.
More evidence has surfaced that GOP presidential candidate Michelle Bachmann's husband's Christian counseling clinics are in the business of so-called reparative therapy for gay people, a claim that he denies. Michelle Bachmann has endorsed reparative therapy over the years, even backing a book written by a woman who claims to be an ex-lesbian.
In Seattle, Washington, Isaiah Kalibu was found guilty July 1st on all counts, aggravated murder, first-degree murder, attempted first-degree murder, first-degree rape, and first-degree burglary, in a case in which he attacked Teresa Butts and her surviving partner in 2009. Kalibu will be sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole when he returns to Seattle courtroom on August 12th.
In North Carolina, 27-year-old cult leader Peter Lucas Moses allegedly shot and killed Jadon Higginbotham, age 4, because he believed the boy was gay. Moses also allegedly killed Antoinetta Yvonne McCoy, age 28, because she couldn't have children and was looking to leave the group.
Blake Mycoskie, the founder of charity Shoeline Toms, has apologized for speaking at a recent Irvine, California event for the anti-gay organization Focus on the Family. Mycoskie apologized for his participation at the Feet on the Ground Faith Conference after blogs criticized him for his involvement with a group that had facilitated the Love One Out Ex-Gay Conference, now organized by Exodus International.
In Massachusetts, the Northampton City Council unanimously passed a resolution supporting the Transgender Equal Rights Bill and called for the legislature to act quickly to pass the measure.
Gay and lesbian advocates and defenders, Transgender Rights Project, and Realty Resources Hospitality, which operates 6 Denny's restaurants throughout Maine, have announced a resolution to a lawsuit brought by Brianna Freeman, a transgender woman who was denied access to the women's restroom at the Denny's in Auburn, Maine. Realty Resources Hospitality has agreed that all of the restaurants it operates, all transgender individuals, will have access to the restroom consistent with their stated gender identity.
The Ohio Supreme Court has upheld lower court decisions that a biological mother did not permanently relinquish sole custody of her child, despite her acknowledging her lesbian partner as a co-parent.
Daniel Hernandez, the openly gay intern for Representative Gabriel Giffords, threw out the ceremonial first pitch at the Major League Baseball All-Star Game in Phoenix, Arizona. Hernandez also threw the first pitch at the Washington Nationals game in Washington, D.C. in June.
In California, Governor Jerry Brown has signed the Fair, Accurate, Inclusive, and Respectful Education Act. The bill ensures that the historical contributions of LGBT people and disabled individuals are accurately and fairly portrayed in instructional materials by adding these groups to the current list of underrepresented cultural and ethnic groups listed in the state's education requirements.
The United States Justice Department has withdrawn its opposition to joint bankruptcy petitions filed by same-sex married couples. The department's About Face and policy developed in a case involving Jean Douglas Ballas and Carlos Morales, who were married in California in 2008. Previously, the department's position was that the bankruptcy code only allowed joint filings by opposite-sex spouses, as defined under the Federal Defense of Marriage Act, or DOMA. However, the Obama administration decided in February that it would no longer support DOMA in court.
In Georgia, Atlanta Police Chief George Turner has fired 6 police officers and disciplined 9 others for lying about what happened 2 years ago during a raid of the Atlanta Eagle, a gay bar. The police chief's actions followed the June 28th release of reports that name officers who lied or destroyed evidence when asked about the raid. However, the bar's owners and 2 patrons who sued the department say they aren't satisfied.
In world news, Chile's government is considering legislation that would legally recognize same-sex civil unions. The measure would grant legal rights to gay couples who have lived together for more than 1 year. If the legislation passes, Chile will be the 5th South American country to legalize same-sex civil unions, after Brazil, Colombia, Ecuador, and Uruguay. Argentina has approved marriage equality.
The Premier of Tasmania, Laura Giddings, has been advised not to comment on an anti-gay situation involving fellow government officials. The opposition contends that Britain Best breached the code of conduct when he accused Liberal Member of Parliament Michael Ferguson of attending an anti-gay rally. The Solicitor General advised Giddings to remain mum on the subject while Ferguson considers legal action.
In England, 2 men were attacked after London Pride on July 4th. The men, aged 25 and 33, were in Spring Gardens, a popular gay spot that includes night spots, when they were knocked to the ground, punched, and kicked by 8 to 10 males. Police say that they're not sure homophobia was a motivating factor, as the attackers did not use anti-gay slurs during the incident.
FIFA, soccer's governing body, has criticized the coach of the Nigerian women's team for saying she had kicked lesbian players off the team. Coach Ucharia Uche told the New York Times that since she was hired 2 years ago, she has eradicated homosexuality from the team.
Bitch. In entertainment news, the Emmy nominations have come out for 2011, and they certainly are gay inclusive. For the supporting actor in a comedy series category, the very gay-friendly show Modern Family has Jesse Tyler Ferguson, Ed O'Neill, Ty Burrell, and Eric Stone Street all nominated. They're pitted against Glee's Chris Colfer, who plays out student Kurt. Also, lesbian actress Jane Lynch, who was hosting the show, was nominated for Glee. The Primetime Emmys will be televised Sunday, September 18th.
And the Chaz Bono documentary, Becoming Chaz, shown on OWN, the Oprah Winfrey Network, received 3 Emmy nods: Outstanding Nonfiction Special, Outstanding Direction for Nonfiction Programming, and Outstanding Picture Editing for Nonfiction Programming. The show documented Bono's transition from female to male.
DeSean Jackson of the NFL's Philadelphia Eagles has apologized for using an anti-gay slur on SiriusXM hip-hop station. Jackson tweeted, "I am sorry for using words that I know to be hurtful and unacceptable. I have made a mistake and would like to make it clear that words I use meant no disrespect to the gay and lesbian community."
TNT has ordered 10 episodes of a remake of the classic nighttime TV soap Dallas. The core cast includes originals Larry Hagman, Patrick Duffy, and Linda Gray. Others include actors Jesse Metcalf and Brenda Strong, both from Desperate Housewives, and Jordana Brewster from the film The Fast and the Furious.
France's cultural minister, Frédéric Mitterrand, awarded Liza Minnelli the rank of officier in the Legion of Honor. Mitterrand said, "Priestess of the music hall, you are the contemporary incarnation of talented versatility, à l'américaine." He also described her as a tiger with the heart of a lamb.
Jennifer Lopez has signed on for her second season of American Idol, joining Randy Jackson and Steven Tyler once again. Lopez has been open about her hesitation to rejoin Idol.
James Franco is predicting more rumors about his sexuality, with him playing his 4th gay film role. In The Broken Tower, Franco will portray gay poet Hart Crane.
Singer Morrissey will release his autobiography in December of 2012. The ex-Smiths frontman called the project the sentimental climax to the last 30 years.
And Glee co-creator Ryan Murphy has confirmed that stars Lea Michele, Corey Monteith, and Chris Colfer will leave the show after its upcoming 3rd season. The trio's alter egos will graduate at the end of season 3. Chris Colfer said that he found out that next season would be his last through Twitter. However, he and co-star Lea Michele may get their own spin-off. And that's the weekend news, brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hi, this is Hedda Lettuce, the future president of the United States, and you're listening to the Windy City Queercast. And remember, people, don't drink and drag. Good night.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of July 18th, 2011, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Looking for comedy, fashion, and catfights? Well, the Real Housewives have nothing on the Ladies of Circle Theater's production of the witty 1930s comedy The Women, playing now through August 14th. For more information or to order tickets to The Women, go to circle-theater.org. Sharpen your claws. These ladies don't play fair.
About Face Theater presents the hottest gay show of the summer, The Homosexuals, by Philip Dawkins, playing now through July 24th at Victory Gardens Theater. Garnering critical praise and 3 stars from the Chicago Tribune, this hilarious and heartwarming play is for anyone who's ever fallen in love with a friend. Get your tickets now for The Homosexuals at aboutfacetheater.com. Say it loud and proud, I'm with The Homosexuals. And for more Culture Club, visit windycitytimes.com.
Anyone out there? Bueller? Bueller? Post a comment at windycityqueercast.com.
Well, I heard there was a secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord, but you don't really care for music, do you? Well, it goes like this, the 4th, the 5th, the minor fall and the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Okay, so we're back and we switched rooms.
Yeah.
We changed rooms. There's some construction going on in my house. I'm building a new porch. For the longest time, I had like a pathway and I had a beautiful porch and I had no stairs. And I thought, isn't that a metaphor for life that you kind of gotta, like, you know, I don't know, you gotta, you see what you want,
right,
and you're on a path, and then you gotta do the work and get on up there.
Yeah, right.
I don't know, I just thought it was very funny.
You need some new stairs.
So anyhow, before the break, I was saying that we've had some really extraordinary... I feel like I have lived a lifetime in the past 4 days,
which is crazy. I know, it's crazy.
So I was invited to the yacht club with my a friend of mine, invited me down, and she has started sailing a little bit and hanging out down there. And that's just, you know, I've lived here 15, 16 years. I've never been to the yacht club. I kind of had this idea that you had to have some sort of titanium key card to get in and swipe it down there. And then when you went down there, everybody would be wearing like navy blazers, except for the workers, who would be in crisp white.
And, this is not Newport.
Right. It's exactly right. So anyhow, we get dressed up, and of course there were going to be four of us going down. By the time we picked up the other two girls, we realized we were all wearing white pants, which is just so yacht gear, right?
And so queer.
And Kiki and I were both like, okay, we want to look like we look nice, but we don't want to look like we tried too hard. We don't want to look yacht clubby, right? So you're just trying to find that right balance of like what to wear.
Yeah, but you don't have anything to compare it to.
I don't, and I'm not trying to impress anybody. Right, like, who am I going to meet at the yacht club?
The movie High Society or something like that.
Right? I have nothing. Yeah, well, what was the one with Overboard with like Goldie Hawn?
Well, I'm not sure that that's the best reference.
But
that is one of my guilty pleasures.
It's one of my guilty pleasures too, with the carpenter, as we have a carpenter out front.
I know, right?
Anyhow, so
All right, go ahead.
So we go down there, and you know, they're running the big Mackinac. I think it's Mackinac. Is that what you said?
Mackinac.
They're running the big Mack race, which they had like just under 400 boats leaving Chicago and race there. And it's a sail, so depending upon how much wind, which we've had like no wind, it can take anywhere from like, I think the fastest it's been done is like 27 hours, and last year I think it took 80 hours for some people's boats. So it's like days on a boat, right? But they have a big party and whatever. And, you know, we go down there, and I'm just, so amazed that you can just, like, walk on. Like, anybody could have walked on. It wouldn't have mattered. I mean, there was no real gate. There's nothing to kind of bar you from going down and seeing the sailboats and just kind of experiencing what that is like down there. And then they have this dining bar area on the water. And anyhow, it was just really it was a perfect night. It was just lovely to be down there on the water and experiencing it. We didn't stay down there long, but you know, it was so funny. I bumped into Danielle, who used to help me run the Gay Idol promotions with Miller, who now has left Miller Lite. But we bumped into one another, and she'd never been down there, and somebody had invited her, right? And then my friend Rana bumped into somebody that she knew, which was totally random. So it was just really a lovely night with the sails and the sailboats.
Have you ever been sailing?
I have never been sailing like this size sailing. No, I mean, I've sailed in the Caribbean on a catamaran. I've sailed on things like that, but not like a sailboat.
No, I mean where you do the sailing, where you participate in.
When I was a little kid, I was telling one of the guys down there that I'm kind of starting to get to know, he sails, and he was going to sail a race, and he was down there, and we happened to bump into him, and I used to, growing up in Tennessee, we had a number of lakes, and they were much steadier and more glass-like than Lake Michigan.
Right.
But and we would sail little sunfishes.
Oh, cute.
Where you could put like two people, and we were young. I mean, we were, you know, 14, 15, 16, 17.
When I was growing up, my father and his brothers, there were three of them, my father and his two brothers, they shared a 40-foot sailboat. So it was a big boat.
So you sailed.
A lot of sailing. I do.
I'm gonna get us a date down there. I'm gonna get us invited, and I'll say Mitchell's my crew person, and I'm the beverage girl.
And that, I haven't done it in a long time, so don't oversell me. I mean, it's probably been 20 something years, but I did love it. It was really, there's something so extraordinary about it, and the sort of speed and the power of it, the control and the sort of quickness of all of it, and the way you have to work as a team. It's really quite beautiful. I told Megan this the other day. We took this crazy walk through Belmont Harbor and Montrose Harbor.
Well, I used to live out near Belmont Harbor, so I used to look at that all the time.
And with boats, and I was talking about this and that, and she was like, how do you know all of this? I'm like, well, I grew up in the Ocean State.
Of course you did.
And we had a boat.
Yeah.
You did?
Isn't that funny?
Yeah. So that was beautiful. That's a beautiful time.
Yeah, it was really, really lovely and a unique Chicago experience I'd never had. And that was just super, super fun. You know, people were just really lovely and casual, and people sitting on their boats and getting ready for the day. And it seemed, it was just really, really great. And then Saturday, a friend of mine is getting married and moving to Calgary. And so because she's moving to, and the wedding is not going to be in Chicago, the wedding is going to be in New York. So it's like all these three different locations. You know, they decide to do like a shower and a bachelorette party for her now.
Yes.
So we had a day of, I had a hetero, a very hetero, do we really want to get married?
This is when we ended up having wine.
This is when we ended up having wine. And, you know, a shower, I go to showers all the time, baby showers, wedding showers, whatever, you know, was lovely. And dinner, we had some amazing sushi at a place called Sushi X down on Chicago, which is a sliver of a little place. You literally walk into the door and you almost hit the back wall. Wow. It's long and shallow.
You said it was amazing.
Some of the best sushi I've ever eaten. It was really amazing. And I eat a lot of sushi. No pun intended.
No spit take.
You almost did a spit take.
Except I took a drink of water at the time you said that, and I thought I can either spit
or not
in your kitchen or let you take that joke.
Okay, right. I took it. And
I eat a lot of sushi too, which is ironic.
There you go. So then we were trying to get into this place called Club Paris because the bride wanted to dance. And I have never been in Chicago besides years and years and years and years ago next to the Dollhouse when that was like the Crowbar or something. There used to be a line. When I would go there on a straight night, not on gay night. I went there a couple of times with some straight friends. This is 14 years ago. I have never stood in a line to go into a bar in a decade.
I won't do it.
Right. Well, we didn't have to, but we went and there was a huge line, and then the guards were coming down saying it's packed. Unless you have a reservation, which I guess you had to pay hundreds of dollars to get in
to get a table. What?
I don't know. I didn't get in, so it's only been open for like 3 weeks. So then we went to this other place called Epic, and all I gotta say is if I ever thought I might possibly be heterosexual, I'm not. And I was, and not because the men were unappealing at all.
It's not an attack on heterosexuals.
And let me just say, we know how to set up a good club. We know how to have a good time. The music was not good. People were totally happy being packed in with one another, and at the same time, not really communicating with each other.
Well, there's always that phenomenon whenever I've, the rare times these days, used to be more when I would go to like a straight club, and it's that phenomena of this almost boxing ring like area where girls dance and then the men stand around and stare at them.
Oh, it's so weird.
It's
a
gross.
Couple of my friends asked me about a day. She was like,
Because girls can dance without being the fear of being sort of ogled and objectified like we do to Megan. And,
yes.
Or
unless you're Megan Murphy.
Unless you're Megan Murphy. Yeah, that's a whole other story. About the way people, girls and boys, treat Megan. She loves it. But also my straight guy friends who like to dance, right? Who just want to be goofy and don't care and aren't trying to like pick up somebody or try to be suave or cool. That's why they like to go to gay clubs too, because then they can just dance on the dance floor and nobody cares. It's not this fear and it's not this one guy, you know, some dude being weird with another dude, be like, dude, you looking at my girl, something like that. Like,
I mean, I didn't encounter that. I didn't encounter any nasty posturing. I didn't encounter, and we all looked really good, and I must say. And I thought we all looked really good. And I did talk to some guys, you know.
You're a cock tease.
I did talk to a couple of beautiful men from Ghana.
That's right, from Ghana.
Who were gorgeous.
Right, you mentioned that they were just beautiful men.
Just beautiful men. And they were very appropriate and
charming.
Not charming. I mean, if I could look at him and
I wish you
talk
could have seen, I wish you could have seen Amy's gesture at that point. It was a finger, like
not charming. Good to look at.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of the Diane Weiss don't speak. You
but
know,
but I appropriate.
Mean, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, but appropriate and kind. I can say kind. You know, respectful and kind. But I don't know. I just was like, oh, and this is the question, because a number of, you know, I was the only homosexual woman there. And a couple of the girls went into the Baton to go pee when we were waiting in that one line.
Right,
and they were like, we want to stay here. It was like one of them from, they were like, we want to stay here. We want to stay here. We're just sitting at the bar. The show's going on. Nobody cares. We got right in, you know. But where do you dance in Chicago? If you really just want to dance, where is that place again? Because I can't even think of gay bars now that have much of a dance floor. Spin has a little dance floor.
Yeah, but Spin has good DJs.
They have good DJs and they have a dance floor. Circuit, I think, has some.
Yep, Big Chicks, as small as the dance floor, has good DJs.
But do people dance? I mean, are people dancing or are they just sitting and listening to good DJs?
Hydrate has a good dance floor.
They do?
Yep.
But that's really late. That's like a good dance floor, like 2 a.m.
Yeah, but who wants to be dancing before then?
Me and a number of straight women. Right. I'm just trying to... I don't want the straight women to infiltrate us, but like, where would you go to dance?
It's because, well, I am middle-aged and you're approaching it, so we don't think about that.
Yes.
If we were 21 or 22 and we want to go dance... Going to dance at 2 o'clock in the morning is the choice.
Oh my God! I have that's to when be you're high. Like,
you wouldn't even
and
right
they are.
Exactly,
and they are,
and they are, and you wouldn't even think about going out before midnight. What would be the point? It'd be lame-o.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'll tell you the last time I danced really hard, and it was so wildly small and inappropriate to dance in. But Scarlett on.
Oh yeah.
What a great DJ they have there. Although can I bitch a little bit to the kids about the DJs these days?
Play something that
not
we can
DJ
sing
Dominic,
to,
who's honestly. Shout out to my friend DJ Dominic, who spins at Spin and at Wang's on Friday night. But anyway, he's awesome. But this thing, this phenomenon where you start a song and then the DJ gets impatient and then they mix it immediately with some other song.
Oh.
Let the song play out. Part of the joy is the build of a song.
Of course.
Unless music now is being built to only be a minute
as
and a half
mash-ups.
Long.
Mashups. Yeah.
If you want to mash it up, but let it play out. There's certain songs that like build, like you dance and you're in it groove, and then it builds, and so that your body feels the build. Let it play.
I am with you. You know, honestly, I still think that the best dance clubs I've ever been have been Southern gay bars. Because in the South, and I think you and I discussed this at the Kentucky bar that you went to, that had that Lady Gaga appeared in like the week later. It's like there's such havens and there aren't a lot of them.
Right, so
and so everybody goes and there's such a liberation and such a freedom and it's men and women and bisexual and straight.
Exactly.
And it's everybody.
It's the place to go.
And it's the place to go. And usually they're big and usually there's a number of different rooms. So if you want to go talk, you go to that room.
Right.
And then when you want to go dance and sweat really hard, you go to that room and then you move, you know, and then you go sit down for a while and you go to another loungy room.
And then maybe you jump in the shower that's in the middle of the dance
floor. We didn't
floor.
Have those back then. Although I do remember a time when I think... I don't know I don't know if the structural space exists anymore, but there used to be, I think it was a Brazilian bar restaurant near Addison and Halstead, just across from the fire station. And I can't remember the name of it, but this was back in the 90s. And you would go and you'd have dinner downstairs, and then you had to be done with dinner by like 11.
Because it turned into a club?
Because they turned it into a club, and they would have that where they would do the soap suds, and they would suds the whole place
down.
Oh, yeah,
what was that?
Yeah. And that was a fun dance place for a little while.
I can never do... I've never been to a suds place. I went once
and
it started...
And the crowbar was...
And it made me
I didn't
very claustrophobic.
Dance in the suds. Oh, I didn't dance.
It would make me
it
very...
It was done by the time I mean, it was about to start and I was gone.
I just love
even
that
even when
were
I
clubbing.
Was in my 20s, I was middle-aged. So
I just
I
love
the,
that you were clubbing on Saturday night.
It was hilarious. It was hilarious. I got
to
tell
I have to say... I have to tell everybody, too, because I saw Amy right when she got home.
Yep.
And she looked... amazing.
Aww.
Those crazy high wedge shoes.
That's my Michael Kors.
And a super cute tank sweater. It was like a crocheted sweater tank dress.
Yeah.
That was barely, I mean, it covered everything that needed to be covered, but
oh, it covered me.
She looked like a hoochie mama.
Aww.
Yeah, she looks great.
Thank you.
You looked really hot.
Thank
it was
you.
Beautiful.
So you went last night, speaking of, you know, everybody getting together, gay, straight. Young, old,
oh, yeah, it was
black,
a pretty mixed
white.
Crowd.
You went to see J. Hood, the Jennifer Hudson, our homegirl.
At Ravinia.
The Oscar award winner.
It was interesting. We were sort of curious.
I love her.
Absolutely.
I love her.
It was a really
fun
experience. It was very hot, so we wanted to get there early. It was my friend's birthday, and so we did we wanted to do the whole thing you know, with Ravinia, and you put up blankets, and you have food.
Yeah.
Drinking wine. He made that white sangria that he makes.
Yeah,
his specialty.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And anyway, so we were curious to see what the makeup of the crowd was going to be. You know, Jennifer Hudson, while she's a mainstream actress and was in Dreamgirls, her music is very much like funky, like adult contemporary, like
R&B,
not like the your typical Wilmette.
No.
elderly couple who goes to Ravinia. No. So we were curious to see what the crowd would be.
Yeah.
And it was very mixed. It was lovely. There were lots of families. There were black people. There were white people. There were young people. There were old people. There were gay people. There were straight people, kids. It was fabulous. It was really, yeah. really nice to see. Because sometimes you go up there and, I don't know, one of the reasons I moved to a city was because of diversity.
Yeah.
I don't want to look at people who look like me all the time.
Yep.
Or talk to people who look like me all the time. And so it was beautiful to see everybody there for Jennifer Hudson. Plus, is there anything better than a hometown girl
made good
story? I mean, for real.
And just, I think this city, you know, with what happened, you know, I interviewed Jennifer 2 days before her family, her mother and her nephew and her sister were shot and killed, and literally aired the. I can't remember. It was like 2 or 3 days because we had just aired the interview and we were about to air. Yeah. I mean, it all happened within, you know, days.
Right. So there's
I think I had the first interview. I probably had the last interview with her before this happened. And I just think, you know, that's something that is so tragic that on any level, anyone can understand that kind of tragedy.
Yes.
And at that moment of having just come off the Oscars and everything that was happening with her, to have something so tragic happen, and it happened here in Chicago. Yes. and on the South
Side. She is Chicago's little girl. And it was obvious, and it was sort of beautiful because of that, because she's a Chicago girl. She talked a lot about it, and she talked a lot about the fact that she doesn't want to leave Chicago and that she gets to travel over the world, and what a blessing, but she comes home to the South Side, and she talked a lot about that, and she sang, and it was beautiful because she not only is a hometown girl made good, but she is, there's something about her that we all feel, because that happened to her, and it was so tragic, there's something protective we all feel a little bit about her, and then she lost all that weight, and she looked amazing.
Yeah, she looks gorgeous.
And then she sang her face off. This is what I said to Megan. I said, I want to hear some songs I've never heard before.
Yep.
I want to hear some songs I know.
Yep.
Like a couple of her pop hits. I want to hear a medley of songs from Dreamgirls.
Yep.
And I want to hear a surprising cover song, something I would never expect her to sing. And I got all of that. She did Spotlight. She sang it.
Yep.
Knocked it out of the park. There's a song called I Got This that I've never heard before that must be on a new album that I don't have.
Yep.
That is my new jam of all time.
Yeah, that's, I think, her new song.
It's brilliant. Loved it. We lost our minds.
Did she sing Pocketbook? That's my favorite.
She
one.
Did not sing Pocketbook. But then she did a medley of songs from Dreamgirls. Of course,
yeah,
she closed with And I'm Telling You. Then she sang I'll Be There, you know, the Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
But she did the Mariah Carey version.
Yeah.
And I thought that was going to be the surprising cover.
Yep.
And I was totally satisfied with it because she sang.
Mm-hmm.
With George Huff, who used to be, George Huff, who was on the same season of her.
He's
her background singer.
Oh, yeah.
And so they
sang
together. Great. They're like besties.
Yep.
So, then she sang Hallelujah by Leonard Cohen.
Oh.
Amy.
Yeah.
It was mind-blowing. It was goosebumpy, tears, dead silent at Ravinia while Jennifer Hudson sang, and her background vocalist.
Wow.
It was gorgeous. So the whole concert was really great. Now, having said that, the opening act.
Yes.
Open letter to Jennifer Hudson's record company. I appreciate that you have newer people on your label that you would like to expose to a larger crowd by sending them out on the road with your stars.
Mm-hmm.
But if they suck ass to the level that Miguel sucks ass, please keep them to yourselves. This guy was so bad. He never got on pitch.
Oh, wow.
Never got on pitch.
Wow.
Did the same riff over and over again. This really obvious Justin Timberlake, who does it much better, riff that Justin does every once in a while that he did on every song.
Oh, wow.
I mean, people who listen
to... Was he a young R&B singer?
Yes. People listen to R&B or soul music, know what I mean by like...
There's sometimes those people who, you know, they're good recording artists and they cannot
That's
do
what
it
Megan
live.
Said. Megan said he's probably good in the studio.
I have to say I heard Seal one time years ago sing live and I was like... Oh my God, what's happened?
Well,
he can't sing, but he actually can.
This guy's song sucked. He did not sound good. He was not particularly interesting to watch. He was very handsome.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, maybe I'm going to get hate letters about this, but Miguel sucked. Jennifer Hudson more than made up for it.
Yeah.
It was a great night. A really great night.
Yep.
Beautiful, hot as hell.
Yeah.
We sweated our eyeballs off.
Yeah.
But
I got to see her. I have not seen her live, and
you know
I
what?
Really
her voice,
like to.
No studio tricks with J-Hud. What you hear when you hear her
on a
record
yeah.
is exactly what you get.
Oh, no. Well, and you could tell that because I will go down as saying this, but I was podcasting way back when she was on American Idol, that she was my favorite when there were like 12 of them.
Yeah, me too. She was my favorite.
And when they kicked her off, I like had a holy fit. And I remember at the time, my girlfriend at the time really loved Fantasia. And I was like, I don't care. That woman right there is enormously talented. And at the time, she didn't have her pitch right on. You know, her fashion was, oh my God, that woman is such a transformation. It's insane.
Right.
If you take that girl who walked on to this early American Idol with like the fuchsia trimmed in silver, like one piece suit thing.
Yeah,
that
it was
she
like
wore.
A bad 80s Phyllis Hyman video. Or
oh
something.
My God, it was horrible. But, you know, I mean, and sometimes, you know, she, her voice was so free, she needed to get a little of control around it. But man,
she was a baby too.
She was a baby. So that transformation has been
but she's got
really
lungs,
glorious.
And she's got lungs and she has such musicality. I was saying to Megan that I think, and those, like, once again, the people who listen to R&B and soul will understand this. I think if she plays her cards right and she sticks around, and if she, because she hasn't had it yet except for And I'm Telling You, if she gets.
She needs to get a couple of hits.
Not just hits.
Big hits.
Not
iconic
just hits, yes.
Songs.
Iconic songs. If she does that and she plays her cards right in the way that Beyonce is becoming this generation's Diana Ross,
mm-hmm.
I think that J-Hud can become this generation's Patti LaBelle because of the way people feel about her. This, like, everybody
mm-hmm.
feels like Jennifer Hudson's like a sister or a cousin.
Mm-hmm.
Then she'll get older and then she'll be America's, you know, then she can be like everyone's aunt, you know, like everybody thinks of aunt, of Patti LaBelle as their aunt, Auntie
right.
Patti. And I feel like if Jennifer Hudson plays her cards right and gets some iconic songs under her belt,
yep.
that she can work for a long time in a way that clearly Fantasia is not.
Oh, yeah. No. I mean, look, it's better not to win that show.
It's better
for
not to win
everybody
the show.
Everybody but right. Kelly Clarkson and...
But even she can't get arrested right now. Yeah, Carrie's the one.
Yeah, but her new song is really good, Kelly Clarkson.
It is?
Yeah.
All right.
So, winding down my week, I went this weekend to see His Holiness the Dalai Lama speak for something radically different than a bachelorette party at Epic.
And a Jennifer Hudson concert.
And a Jennifer Hudson.
Although maybe not that radically different.
And I have to say, you know, many of you listen to the show know that I did an interview with the president of the Theosophical Society, Tim Boyd, and Jennifer Beals, who is a spokesperson for the Dalai Lama coming to Chicago. And I was at the UIC Pavilion with, I don't know, 7,000, 8,000 people. What an experience to just see that man if he had never opened his mouth. I mean, the crazy thing that happened is as I was going to my seat, and you're in that, you know, and you're in a stadium before
right.
you kind of enter the belly of a stadium, right? I was standing going, am I going to get some water? There was a long line there. Am I going to go in the bathroom? And I was standing somewhere where there was just kind of this little black curtain, and I saw this handful of people gathered. It wasn't many. It was like, you know, 7 or 8 people and 2 people in a wheelchair. And I look up, and I am literally like 8 feet from him leaning over and shaking these 2 people in the wheelchair's hands and touching them. And I had just gotten an iPhone. I've gotten an iPhone, folks. You get a lot of random information. But I didn't know how to, like, quickly, like, get to my camera and take a picture. And at the same time, I kind of didn't want to look down because I didn't
right.
want to miss the moment because
right.
I knew it was going to be very fleeting.
Right. Have them always.
It was like a 60-second moment. So was it long enough to take a picture? Probably was. But I knew other people would get pictures of him, you know, that day. But however that timing had to work, because I had been in 2 different lines trying to get in because there's so much security and all of this, and to be walking there and my section be right in front of where he was going to be standing and
amazing.
Debating whether I was going to get water or go to the bathroom, make water or get water. and literally to be,
Amy Messina.
There you go. But I was literally like 9 feet from this man, you know, which is when you think of everywhere he's been. I don't know. It was a very powerful thing.
Extraordinary.
And then just to hear him speak and, you know, the person that I went with.
Here's a naive question. Does he speak English?
Yes, he does speak English. You have to listen very hard to understand him. You have to be intent in the act of listening.
What was it? Was the crowd like just quiet?
Quiet. Totally silent, quiet. He had a very cute, very sweet looking translator. Who goes with him everywhere, sitting, and every now and again, if he forgot a date or he couldn't remember a word or a turn of a phrase, he would lean over and you'd hear him speak. to the translator, and the translator would say the word, you know, would say the word or the phrase back to him. Or if he had a, he wanted to hear, sometimes he would want to hear a question. If a question was posed at the end, they asked him questions. If he wanted to hear a question posed, you know, from the interpreter giving it exactly in the same way. I mean, he's the Dalai Lama. He kind of talks about whatever the heck he wants to talk about. Sure. You know, you don't really need to even ask him a question.
Do you feel like the Dalai Lama, I mean, I'm woefully ignorant about, I mean, I know who the Dalai Lama is, and I have a very, probably like most people listening, have a very cursory understanding.
Yeah.
Is the Dalai Lama a person who's inclusive of the gay community?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's inclusive of the fact that, he told a beautiful story this morning. He was at the Harris Theater. He had two appearances. And this morning he was at the Harris Theater, and he told this beautiful story, which he was trying to illustrate the point that what we are is we are all human. We don't say, I'm a Christian and I'm hungry.
Right.
You know, we don't go, so I'm a homosexual and I'm tired. And I'm going to drink this water because I'm thirsty.
Right.
Like, at core level, we are all human beings. He told this wonderful story about meeting this...
except a lot of people do, but that's a whole other story.
Right. But that, you know, and he was on a panel today with, a Muslim leader, a Jewish leader, and a Christian leader.
Interesting.
On a pretty high scale. And now the UIC, it was just him talking about his bridging the gap, which is what he's trying to do between faiths, is a real big message of his right now. You know, he's 80. I mean, he's going, what's the last things I need to say to people?
Right before I go away, yeah.
You know, I mean, I think he's in that phase of his life. And but he told this beautiful story, and it's simple. Like, everything about him is very simple. Mm-hmm. It's like, when you hear it, you're like, of course, you know, we're all human beings. I mean, that's a very simple thing. But he told this story of meeting this head of a state. I believe it was a head of a state in, I don't know, it was a big country, head of a state. I don't remember where he was. And he was like, I was there, and it was him and his wife and his daughter, his little girl, and he didn't know the word for it, and he leaned over to the interpreter, and the interpreter said, the nanny for the little girl. And he said, so I went up, and I shook the hand of the head of state, and shook the hand of his wife, and shook the hand of his little girl, and I went to shake the hand of the nanny. They're all just people. They're all just human beings. I am just meeting a human being.
Right.
And he said, the sad thing in our world today is that she was hesitant.
Right,
she was taken aback that I extended my hand to her. And he goes, and that made me so very sad, you know? And so I think that there's, you know, he absolutely, what he has been a great facilitator of educating himself. Of different religions, Buddhism being a philosophy, you know, and the science. He's been very curious about science. He's been very curious about all religions, and you know, he's an exile. I mean, has been for 50 years. I mean, you know, from his country, from Tibet, from his homeland. You know, he has gone out, and in this going out, he has sought information. He is not scared of information. He did, however, say, you know, that we want all the externals. We want knowledge, and we want things, and that will never bring us happiness. Everything from happiness, you know, is going to come from inner work. And yet it just, what we see, and we think knowing more and doing more,
right,
you know, is going to bring us happiness. He doesn't do that in an attempt, I think, to have happiness. I think he does it in an attempt to have understanding. Mm-hmm. And is clearly revered, you know, in
how does one become a Dalai Lama?
Is selected. I mean, you know, there's a really great
movie.
Is
it like the Pope?
No, because he has been the Dalai Lama since he was like 3 years old. And if you've ever seen the beautiful movie that... I think it's by Zeffirelli. Is it by Zeffirelli? Kundun. Kundun, which won tons of Oscars, is the story of the Dalai Lama.
Oh, I have to
so if you've
out.
Never seen it, it is, first of all, fantastically beautiful. And really talks about how, you know, these monks went into this small village and this man and woman and said, this, your son is the Dalai Lama. He is the reincarnation of the Dalai Lama, and took him and trained him.
So one wonders where...
So he has one for life until he dies and he is reincarnated.
And then
I don't know when, how long after
he
dies.
When do they start looking or how do they?
I don't know. I don't know.
Right now I have to find out because now I'm fascinated because how does that work?
I don't actually know, but it may be in Kundun.
Because, you know,
I haven't seen it in so long.
You know, I'm not a believer in, I mean, I'm obviously a believer in like morality and spirituality and, you know, being kind to each other and all that sort of stuff.
He's a great teacher, you know, yes. I mean, he is a great teacher.
So but I am curious about the ways in which those things work.
Yeah, and I was curious too, you know, like the Pope, you mentioned the Pope, because we were writing home yesterday and I said, you know what I'm curious about, because I'm not hugely knowledgeable. My knowledge is very small. But, you know, the Pope speaks for God. Well, the Dalai Lama doesn't speak for God. Yeah. You know,
speaking of, this is funny, on, I think it's tollroad.com, and a lot of people read Toll Road. Paul Rudnick, the writer, do you know what I'm talking? He wrote this funny thing, like top 10, like, you know, the Pope has a Twitter account now.
Oh, Lord, no.
And so it's the top 10 tweets by the Pope.
Yeah.
I won't do it justice. Check it out. It's friggin' funny.
All right. Dial link that.
Really,
I will put that down in our
Paul
bonus,
Rudnick.
Bonus
yeah, Paul Rudnick's writing what the Pope would be tweeting. It's super funny.
But I think, you know, he is a fascinating teacher and somebody who can bring religions together, because Buddhism is not a religion, you know. And he said two things I found really interesting that somebody like you, because he talked about people who are what was the phrase he used? Something about, you know, essentially, to be moral, you don't have to be religious.
Right.
And he said, and you can be religious and not be moral.
I don't need a church.
Right, they're
not
the same.
Exactly. Because I don't need a church or a book to tell me what's right.
This is exactly right. And he said, now, he goes, you don't need a religious practice. He said, I think for many, religious practice, because it incorporates prayer and service and a study, right, of a theology, may help people maintain a morality or achieve a morality or find a morality.
Right.
But he said it's not essential. It can be helpful. But he did make a point of saying two things. He goes, I am Buddhist. I was born Buddhist. This is what I know. I have only a Buddhist lens, even though I've gone out and looked and, you know, and tried to study others. He goes, my advice is stay whatever you were. You know, he's saying this to a bunch of people who are more than likely all probably either born in Christian or Jewish
faiths.
In Chicago, 7,000 people at the University of Illinois, Chicago.
Right.
And he even said that. He was like, out here, probably 70% of you were born Christian or whatever, you know, or Christian or Jewish. He was like, you know, for me, he's very funny because he's saying it in his very broken language.
Well,
there's only
2% Jews on the planet, so probably even more.
Okay. So, but he said, you know, he basically said, to avoid confusion, be what you are.
Right.
And then if you want to know other things,
look into it.
Or you get called to other things, then yes, you know. But he essentially said that. He also said, or this is what I heard him say, and sometimes it's also your interpretation of what you hear him say, because he doesn't say things this clearly.
Mm-hmm.
But he essentially said, you cannot rely on prayer. Prayer is a tool. But prayer without action or without work or without, he was essentially saying that it was actions.
Right, it's not magic.
It is actions that are going to, I think it wasn't the word revered, but it was kind of like saying conscious action, you know, leads, is how you will get to happiness.
I call that? We've talked about it before. Choices.
Choices.
Right?
Your choices.
You have chances to happen.
Yep.
And you make a choice.
Yep.
You take an action based on the chance of meeting this person or having this come up or this thing.
Yep.
And then you make a conscious choice.
Yep.
Action.
Yep.
And then your life changes.
Yep. He said something so profound that I'm not going to say it exactly right, but I'm going to say it the way I say it, and then eventually I'm going to transcribe it, because I was so glad I had an iPhone. Writing notes. But he did say this one thing, and I thought, this is a real, you know, if this is a call out to anybody listening who's gay and closeted, or you're still really struggling
fearful
with that, you know, or whatever it is that we're fearful of about ourselves or our life or whatever. He basically, you know, they are looking for, you know, harmony. I mean, the Buddhist practice, as I understand it, is looking for harmony, enlightenment.
Mm-hmm.
And he essentially said that the whole thing starts with honesty. Because if you start with honesty and you back that up with discipline, the discipline of being honest, then you will not, you know, there will be no room to lie or to cheat or, you know, or to have any of that, those things that come from fear. You know, he said, so if you can live honestly,
or rigorous self-inventory.
Rigorously live honestly and do that in a disciplined way, then you develop trust. And through trust, you develop friendship. And from friendship comes happiness. And from happiness comes harmony.
Huh.
And it was really interesting, this little chain that I can kind of go, you know, knowing you, Mitchell, like, it makes me happy, you know, it makes me happy.
Right.
You and I have a certain honesty with
right,
one another.
Exactly right.
You know, we have a trust with one another. We've let each other in.
Right.
We have a discipline about that.
Right. So
you know,
a
we can go a long time.
Right.
There is a harmony about the way in which we interact.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's a very easy relationship. It makes me feel good about myself. And he was essentially saying in all of your life, like, how much friendship and community will build up around you if you practice those, you know, honesty with discipline, which builds trust, which creates friendships. It can't help but,
right,
you know, because I see you, you see
right.
me, and we're truthful with one another. And then from that, you know, I feel the harmony of my life. And I thought, that's just a really interesting little
seed to seed.
Yeah, you know,
like, what's
point
the formula for happiness? I was saying this to somebody very recently, I was taking a tough love approach to someone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell them to listen to this. A tough love approach with someone in my life, not someone very close, but someone who has sort of opened up to me. And I said, happiness is action. Happiness is a choice. Happiness isn't a magic pill you take.
It isn't. We all want that. And unfortunately, everyone's chasing that. And he even talked about that. You know, people are chasing it with money, with power, with a drug. You know, we want to be on Prozac. We just want it simple. We just want it easy.
It is an injection of some dye called happiness that, like, sort of fills up in, you know, fills up your bloodstream with happiness. It isn't. It's about choosing to be happy.
Yeah.
And whatever that means.
Yeah. But it does take something of oneself.
Yeah, you have to work out.
You know, and so I really loved that. I loved that it starts with honesty. So, look, you don't have to be honest with, I don't mean you have to be dishonest with every person you meet, but find a few.
You don't have to be a raw nerve with everybody.
No.
Right?
But find a few people that you can really get honest with.
Yeah.
You know, and just risk that, you know.
That's
and,
what he was saying.
And I think what happens is that becomes then easier to be with more people. So I'm kind of leaving us with this because to me, you know, and having this vehicle of this podcast, and I know many of you who listen, you know, maybe don't have an outlet or don't have, you know, a big community. I know we have a lot of listeners who don't live in Chicago. So it's like just... You know, it's a good practical lesson for somebody like me who lives in Chicago and knows a lot of people and feels like I'm very out. But it also, you know, is some nice little seeds that you can plant and start practicing if you're somewhere where you don't feel like you can be honest.
Also, you
know, you
saw the Dalai Lama yesterday. It'd be weird if you weren't talking spiritual things.
Well, this would be true too. Look, I profess to know nothing, but that sounded pretty right to me, and I can look over my life and I can sit across from you and say, you know, that is my truth with Mitchell. So why wouldn't that be my truth with others or with endeavors and things that I want to do? That we just have to show up as ourselves and be honest, and that will then come, you know. So it's been a big week.
It has been a big week.
And I don't know what the next week's going to unfold with, but my brother is coming to town.
Your brother's coming. I have some business-like, career-like choices to make this week, which are so huge for me. And it's a big week. We'll see.
We'll see. But we hope you have a wonderful week. Stay cool.
Yeah.
And
ice cubes on the wrists and behind the knees.
There you go. And be sure to just kind of, you know, say yes to a few things this week. Say yes to some things you might say no to, because I said yes to a lot of stuff last week, and wow.
Say yes to writing an email and tell me what to do about this guy who I don't know if I was in a date with him or not.
Date or not date.
Yeah, let me know.
And if you know a good place to dance in town, we'd like to know.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe we'll take the Dalai Lama next time.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.